Okay, this hour, as we continue talking with the trends expert, Gerald Celente, we will take your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Gerald Celente with us, the trends expert. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, trendsresearch.com. Gerald, I want to talk with you about the housing situation, but let's get back to Saudi Arabia for a moment. So what's going to happen with these people? Are they buying their way out? Is that what he wants?
Well, you know, again, you know, they want power, and that's they're just pushing people out that are in his way. Again, you know, they bypassed other people, and it's a palace purge.
I had an interesting theory that maybe, remember we had heard that some Saudis might have been involved in financing 9/11? I wonder if for some reason this guy has gone after these people because they were part of that.
You know, I don't know. And again, you know, what was the, 15 out of the 19 people?
They're all Saudis.
Yeah. And they were our allies. But you know, I was mentioning, though, you about Yemen. Yemen's been a disaster for years. I was mentioning when Obama was going to war against Libya in 2011, I'll never forget the same day that he was condemning Gaddafi, they just killed about, you know, 35 people in Yemen, but that never made the news. So this place is, you know, everything is, it's the poorest nation in the Middle East, and it's been racked by corruption, and now the Saudis, you know, now they're involved there.
Well, are they fixing the corruption? Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
In Saudi Arabia? I don't know.
With what they're doing in Yemen?
Oh, no, my God. No, they're bombing the place. It doesn't make the news, George. It's one day after another. You know, 15 killed in a market. You know,
yeah.
From Saudis dropping bombs. They're bombing the place. They have also a blockade on that the United Nations is saying it's causing a humanitarian crisis.
It's a disaster, then, isn't it?
Yes, and we're concerned about that disaster spreading. Because now there's more and more the war talk ratcheting up with Iran. And if the United States goes to war with Iran, poof, then you're going to see the markets crash. By the way, we're not worried about North Korea. We don't think that that's going to be an issue. Because if the United States attacks North Korea, say goodbye to South Korea. They got 24
yeah.
million people, 34 miles from the...
It's way too close, yeah.
Yeah, so we don't see anything happening over there.
What about the Iranian situation and all these protests right now?
Again, you know, we look at the facts. And this is a fact. When they were showing photos last week of the Iranian protests, what they were showing, they'd have a caption, and for example, USA Today, Iranian protests. They were showing photos of they have a pro-government rally every year. That's the photos that they were showing. Tens of thousands of people, there were pro-government rallies. The protests are real, but they're very small. And they're nothing compared to the 2009 protests when Ahmadinejad was reelected. And mm-hmm. so there's more hype than reality. And again, what's not going on, and when you want to pick your fight, you put this kind of information out. You know, 15 altar boys were killed in Congo last week when the Catholic Church was protesting against the guy that's been running the joint now for about 25 years that he wants to stay in. That didn't make the news. 22 people were killed down in Honduras because, you know, they had that election where it took them a month to count the ballots.
Right.
You know, I'm saying what they use different incidents to build it up when there's an agenda. And the agenda we see coming is Trump is going to kill the Iranian nuclear deal. And that's going to happen between January 12th to 17th. I believe those are the days, whether or not he signs on, and then it goes into Congress.
Well, he's got to kill. He doesn't have much of a choice, does he?
Well, again, this is the beginning, as we're seeing, of another increase in hostilities between the United States and Iran.
True.
And that's the one that we're concerned about the most.
All right. And now what about the housing bubble? I mean, what's happening there?
What's going to happen with housing is that when interest rates go up, that's when you're going to start seeing housing going down. It's as simple as that. And you're seeing it already with the subprime issue with the subprime autos. I mean, that was a comparison to the subprime auto, the subprime housing crisis, when people that weren't shouldn't have gotten loans got them. So you're seeing the decline in the autos with interest rates going up. If interest rates go up too high, this housing market goes down. Oh, and by the way, the tax plan that Trump has put in, already in New York City, you're seeing sales going down 25%. And it's not the rich people, by the way, that are being hurt by this, not being able to deduct taxes. It's the taxes are ridiculous in New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut. It's the average person. I have emptied land in a place called Rhinebeck, and I'm paying $7,000 a year in taxes.
Jeez, with nothing there.
Nothing there. And if you have an average house, you're paying $12,000, $15,000 taxes.
Hold on to it for 10 years, you've lost $70,000 out of things.
Exactly. So now you can't deduct it. This is going to put downward pressure in a lot of places.
Good point. Let's go to the phones. Thomas in La Jolla, California is with us. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call and wishing you and the Coast staff a magnificent and prosperous 2018. And, Gerald, it's always, always a pleasure to hear your analysis. I wanted to ask you, Gerald, you brought up, well, you stated Silicon Valley con jobs, okay? And I'm curious. I think the 800-pound gorilla in the room is insecure hardware, insecure software, insecure operating systems, insecure browsers on our desktops, laptops, tablets, mobile devices, and smartphones. George was reporting with Lauren Weinstein of the meltdown hole in the hardware of Intel for the last 10 years. You have people like Kevin Mitnick saying, as a white hat hacker, he can hack into any desktop operating system, smartphone, etc. There's two words for that: substandard engineering. Are we ever going to see a trend in Silicon Valley to sell us hardware, operating systems, software that is secure, you know? And I'm wondering if you see that, because really we have an insecure hardware, software, we have an insecure internet, and, you know, when we talk about Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies, how can you possibly have a cryptocurrency on an insecure platform? Anyway, that's my question. Thank you, Gerald.
Yes. On the cryptocurrencies, that's the blockchain technology that's been proven so far to be pretty solid, and that's what makes it work. One transaction is one transaction. It doesn't go any further. And that's why companies like Ripple are also expanding the way they are, because of the money transfers are secure. But of course, you make a perfect point, because what was the New Year's story was, you know, companies were warned to replace all hardware or risk a Spectre attack. And there are a lot of flaws in the system. And again, when you look at one of our trends, we're saying what's going on in China is what people should start watching, because they're moving ahead of Silicon Valley in many ways, particularly on artificial intelligence. And what happened was, basically, just to make this very quick, is that the United States and Europe sold out by getting manufacturing done over in China so they could increase profits. You go back to 2001, China joined the World Trade Organization. 2 weeks after 9/11, when no one was paying attention because people would have been in, you know, up at arms about it. Only 5% of China's population back then was middle class. Today, 35%. And this is a country of 1.3 billion people. We gave away our technology. The deal is this. You want to do business in China? Yeah, you can open up your company over here, but you only can own 49% of it, and you have to give us all your technology. That's a fact. So now China is expanding beyond Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley is going to China for now, artificial intelligence and new breakthroughs. So to answer your question, I think you're going to start looking at places like China and India to give us more secure and more advanced technology than the United States in the future.
And isn't that dramatic if that happens?
It's happening. You're looking already in 2032, China's going to be the largest economy in the world.
That's the estimate. You're right.
And in 10 years, India goes into number 3.
It's all because of population and cheap labor.
Cheap labor and the corporations in Europe and the United States sold out.
They sold out.
They gave, and we the people, by the way, lost. Because a lot of this technology and research, taxpayers paid for it. And they gave it away. And we're paying for it, and we'll continue to pay for it unless there are some changes taking place.
I see tumbleweeds blowing through parking lots of empty factories in this country, Gerald.
Well, you know, one of the things that Trump is doing with this reversal of NAFTA and the other World Trade Organization agreements could change that. You know, if the president doesn't need Congress's approval to end NAFTA, he has that power by himself. And that could be one of the positive things that he does by bringing jobs back here. And so we'll have to see where that goes.
Well, it better happen sooner than later. Dan, truck driving in Colorado, is a first-time caller. Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
George. Hey, Gerald.
Hi.
Just real quick, I'm a bit confused on this whole crypto or the blockchain. George, with your following coast to coast, why can't you come up with a blockchain or a cryptocurrency?
My own currency?
Yeah. Why couldn't that be done? I mean, with the following, the millions of people that you have following you, why couldn't that happen?
It could happen. It could definitely happen. There could be the coast to coast, C2CC. That would be it. Coast to coast coin, and people would buy it, and they would buy subscriptions, and they would deal with that, and also to support what you do. It could definitely be a reality. That is a very, very good question. That would be what I would call it. C to CC.
Interesting, Gerald. Maybe I'll have you head it up for us.
Well, I don't know how to do it, but I do know that it could be done.
Interesting question. Now, wouldn't I need, though, suppliers to accept the coins?
No.
I mean, who wants a coin if you can't buy anything with it?
Well, you can buy it because it would become one of the coins that are traded on the
exchange
and others. Yeah.
Huh, I'd have to check into
that. That's the perfect, that, by the way, that is the perfect symbol for it, C to C.
You think he's got a good idea?
I think it's a great idea. I think it's a sensational idea. And it is also what you are and who you are and what you've done. You are a voice of the people, a voice of freedom, and a voice of liberty. And that's what the people are looking for. Why do you think there are elections going on all over the world, except the United States, where people are looking for new ways.
Right.
Matter of fact, that's why Trump won. And as you well know, we called Trump a winner back in May of 2016. It wasn't that people liked Trump. They were disgusted with the current system. And people are disgusted with the current financial system. A C2C coin, that rings, because that's what they do. They have three-letter abbreviations. and C2C would be the winner.
Yeah, find me a crypto expert who can help me on this.
Well, I don't know any.
All right, so I got to do
it. But everybody
myself.
Listening out there, you could get in touch and you could bring it into. This is, I'm serious. You could be selling your subscriptions on C2C.
Tom in the Bronx. Take it away, Thomas.
Hiya, George.
Hey there.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. I hope
I'd
you
like
are,
to
too.
Say this, that Saudi Arabia, I'd like to say several things, actually, but Saudi Arabia would have been better off investing in Yemen and making life better for the people there instead of doing this hideous situation they're doing right now. Like if people need housing, for instance, like the Palestinians need housing, like in Gaza. Gaza should have been better managed than it was under the PA, the Palestinian Authority there.
What they should have done
was, like, even if they got cargo containers for people to live in, they would have at least get rid of some of the terrible shacks they may be existing in. They could have at least done something to make life better in the area that they're living in. What do you think, sir?
Well, you know, I agree with you. I'm a Bronx guy, too. Allerton Avenue and Boston Post Road is where I grew up. Anyway, what the Saudis are doing is an atrocity. And by the way, it began under the Obama administration, and the Saudi ambassador announced the war from Washington, D.C., and it's been going on now for 2.5 years. 15,000 people have died so far, and the Saudis have absolutely no business at all being there. And by the way, these are the reports that come out. I'm not making these numbers up. Between the Obama administration and the Trump administration, some $400,000 of weaponry has been sold to the Saudis. And the United States, this is a fact, is also supplying intelligence, air refueling for the aircraft, and of course the munitions that are being used there.
Next up, we go to Wayne in Chicago. Wayne, take it away. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, George. George, don't forget about a brother when you make your first billion off the Bitcoin.
You got it, my man.
Yes, Gerald, I am so glad when you come on. You're one of my favorite guests of all time. You always tell the truth, just like you just did about the so-called Russian email hack, which is a bunch of hooey for anybody who does real studying. But this is what I want your opinion on, Gerald. I say, if people accept a cryptocurrency, you are giving up your individual independence as a human being. Now you can be tracked 24/7, whatever transaction you make. So the central governments of the world can just say, well, now we want you to put the chip inside of your finger. You don't have to have the cards anymore. You put a chip inside your finger. If you say no, then we'll just cut your account off. You're no longer a free human being. What do you think, Gerald?
Okay. 40 seconds, Gerald.
Digital currencies and cryptocurrencies are two different things. I agree with you 100% on the digital currency, and that's where they're going to be going. That's what I said. The world has gone cashless. Crypto is an alternative to the digital. It's digital, but it doesn't have government control.
And that's the important thing. Stick with us. We're going to come back in a moment with final phone calls for Gerald Celente before we talk about the spiritual world next hour. Well, our first luncheon series of the year takes place next month in Los Angeles. It'll be with Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates. Come on by, especially all of you who have been attending the luncheon series. Send an email with your phone number to lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com. It's that simple, lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com. And welcome back to Coast, Gerald Celente with us and your phone calls here. Let's go to Dan in Virginia, east of the Rockies. Daniel, go ahead.
Hi, this is Dan, the blind man of the angels.
Oh, good to hear from you again.
Well, I have a pleasant surprise for you, Gerald. First of all, I want you to know that I just love your work. Now, in regards to countering all the divisiveness and disharmony in the country, about 11 months ago, I did a therapeutic healing video where I took the phrase, the Donald Trump effect, and I turned it into an acronym where, for example, T stands for teach, H stands for healing, E stands for enjoy. You see what I mean? And then what I did is I supported that with micro models so that people can be very proficient with the usage of human and physical resources. I read the entire Braille transcript, first takes, and it was a 55-minute presentation on Facebook. And since then, I've done, I think, 250 World Service videos.
Ah, good for you.
Yes. Yeah, so anyway, if people, I think you can go to a title search, for example, on and just type in the Donald Trump effect, and any video that's titled that will show up there. You see what I mean? And also, I'd like for you to know that one of the Christmas videos that I did was a children's song called Never Have Nuclear War on Christmas.
I like that. Dan, thank you so much. Some great listeners, Gerald.
Yep.
They are the best. So what do you see over the next 5 years in terms of trends?
Well, one thing, you have Stephen Quayle coming in, and
he's
work
coming up Monday.
Great.
Yeah.
And he sent me some of his books, and they're terrific. And, you know, I saw you could Google it up, 1984, I was going over the Rhinecliffe Bridge, and my wife, may she rest in peace, were going over it, and we just come back from a Tai Chi class, and I saw this red triangle coming across. We're right on the peak of the, on the bridge,
yeah,
over the Hudson River. And I used to do a lot of hot air ballooning back then, and I've been flying in private planes for a long time, so I know.
You know what you're looking at.
Yeah, I know height and speed, and this was about going about 30 knots, and it was only about 500 feet high, and we stopped the car. I stopped the car on the top of the bridge. It was 10 o'clock at night, and I got out, and I'm watching this thing coming across. We both got out, and all of a sudden, the bridge authority comes up, and a guy starts yelling, "Get back in the car! Get back in the car!" I said, "Look at this thing!" And he yells at me. He said, "It's a helicopter flying. It's helicopters flying in formation. Get back in the car!" And I turn around. I'm a young guy at the time, you know. I turn around, I start working. I said, "It's not making any noise." And get back in the car. Get arrested. So I got in the car. At the bottom of the bridge where people stopped watching this. Thousands of people saw this.
Thousands.
Thousands. You could Google it.
I think
it
that was Kingston, a huge UFO case, the Hudson River case.
Yep, Kingston, New York, 1984. So anyway, they came out the next day. You ready for this one? They said it was the Dutchess County National Guard doing air maneuvers.
Yeah, right. Without
you know,
sight.
Am I 6 years old? I know, again, I used to do hot air ballooning and flying in private planes. I know what this thing looks like. So anyway, I appreciate what Stephen Quayle does.
Walter in Pennsylvania. Take it away, Walt.
Hi, George. Happy New Year to you and Mr. Salenti and everybody else at C2C.
Thank you, Walt. You too.
Right, George. Mr. Salenti was mentioning Donald Trump's PR problems, and I'd just like to say that, in my opinion, the only thing lacking in the Trump White House is a pet, a mascot. So I would suggest to President Trump that he get himself one of these cute little English bulldogs, you know, the ones with the big googly eyes and the loose jowls. And one more thing, George, you ought to name that dog Hillary.
Okay, or Winston.
Great idea.
Winston. Has Hillary faded away, Gerald, or is she coming back?
No, I don't think she's coming back. She had a negative rating of 55% going into the election. And the lie, by the way, again, we only stand by the facts. is that the reason she lost is because people couldn't stand her. It wasn't male, white male, misogynist guys, because as many males, again, we wrote about this, as many males voted for Donald Trump, white males, as did for Mitt Romney,
yeah,
and more women voted for Trump than they did for Clinton. 52% of the women voted for Trump. So people can't stand the Clinton.
What was it that she did wrong, in your opinion?
Well, it was her attitude, who she is, the arrogance. And again, that was part of what came out with the DNC tapes.
Was she an arrogant senator?
Nothing. I mean, they're all nothing senators. You know, but again, look at the tape. Look at the money they're making from the Goldman Sachs.
Oh, I know. I know.
You know, I mean, and then they, yeah, and then they get the tapes that, you know,
and the speeches.
Oh.
Just, it's crazy.
Yeah, they're...
Next up, we're going to have a kick with this one. Cornelius out of Alexandria, Louisiana. Hi, Corny.
All right, George. Hey, Gerald, I'm the God, Gun, the Gold Man, the Bible, Bullets, and Beans Man. I'm in George Norrie's army telling everybody to get ready. So this is me, Gerald, and George. I want to say first a happy and blessed new year to all the Coast to Coast audience. I want to thank y'all for that birthday shout-out from all of y'all and stuff. I fell asleep because I'm running for the city marshal of Alexandria, Louisiana. So
you
I was tied up in paperwork that day. January 5th was my birthday. So, George, I want to thank you and Tommy and all the Coast to Coast listeners and stuff. My question for you, Gerald, I have to be an African-American. I voted for Trump and everything, and I support Trump. I think you're right. If the Democrats win, he's gone. But I'm hoping and praying that the Democrats don't win. And my real question to you is this Coast to Coast currency or Coast to Coast coin. I want George like Wayne. I want him to invest in it, and we'll get $1 billion out of it and stuff like that. So
and we'll put my face on it, like the Queen or something.
And look, this is Mardi Gras season here, so it's a slogan here: "Throw me something, Mister." And let the good times roll. So, George, you and Tommy need to come to Mardi, and you too, Gerald, come to Mardi Gras.
I went 1969. It was the first time I went.
It's a great spot.
Oh, wow, what a time.
It's a great country, isn't it? Made up by some of the best people in the world.
Oh, what a time. That was back in the day when jazz was really hot, you know.
In spite of what they say, Gerald, about the United States and, you know, the screwed-upness of the government, we have a backbone here of solid, dedicated Americans that I would not trade in for anybody.
Me neither. Look, you know, I own three of the most historic buildings in America. You know, 1774 Academy, the 1750s Franz Rogan House, and the 1763 Dr. Jensen House. You could Google it up, the most historic four corners in America, the only place with pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings. And I bought them because I'm proud to be an American. And I'm only me because if I was born in Alta Villa Appina, Vica Quince in Italy, I wouldn't be me. I'm me because I was born in the Bronx and free to be who I wanted to be. And so I put my money in my heart where my life is, and my life is being an American and appreciating what the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence represents.
Let's go to Kona in Hawaii. It's on the Big Island. Hello, Kathleen. Go ahead. Welcome to the program.
Oh, Happy New Year to both of you.
You too, Kathleen. Go ahead.
I want to say one thing first. I am a woman. I would not have voted for Hillary, and I would have definitely not voted for Trump. But here's my question.
Okay.
Here's what I'm interested in. Why do we always dump on Iran? Iran has a very long history. They were Persia. Saudi Arabia, you know, they were kind of nomadic, and they came together when they hit the oil spike. But, you know, why do we keep dumping on Iran?
Well, you know what happened? Until the Shah was displaced, they were one of our dear friends. But then the bottom fell out, Gerald.
Well, again, you have to go back a little bit earlier, George. And matter of fact, it came out this summer.
We threw out Mossadegh, right?
Yeah, 1953. The CIA report was declassified. Winston Churchill, these are his words, "We need their oil." Because Mossadegh, when he got elected, democratically elected, he had the nerve
throw out Anglo-Iranian Oil, better known today as BP, and American Arabic Oil, better known as ExxonMobil today. And they wanted the oil. And the facts are there. Kermit Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt's grandson, even though the CIA said, no, the first coup attempt didn't work, let's try another one. And the CIA said, no, we're not going to do another one. And this, again, according to the report, and that's been declassified, they overthrew the government. Kermit Roosevelt was behind it.
And installed the Shah. They put the Shah in.
Yeah. And by the way, the Shah was a brutal dictatorship. I mean, you know, it wasn't pleasant over there. So what they did, every time when you do these kind of things, you then create the conditions for radicalism.
Yes.
And that's what happened afterwards. And then, oh, and by the way, according to that CIA report, it was the clerics also, because Mossadegh was making the place very democratic and getting rid of the religious influence, they ended up also supporting the Shah and getting paid by the CIA to help overthrow Mossadegh, who was democratic. So that's part of the issue there. And, you know, just to answer something going on, too, about the fellow gentleman from Louisiana, you know, we're looking for a new third-party movement to happen. And when you're looking at the polls and people weren't thrilled about either candidate in this last election, according to the polls. You're looking at the millennial generation who made a guy like Bernie Sanders, you know, a nothing into prominence. This is a huge segment of the population, bigger than the baby boom, and 71% of them saying that a third major party is needed. So there's an opportunity now. It's going on all over the world, in France, again, whether you like the people or not.
But it's got to be electrifying candidates, though. They can't be too far out.
Well, again, it's what your show is about. It's a populist movement.
Yes, exactly.
It's the things that we're talking about. Proud to be an American, but living by the ideals of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Look, I know the terrible things that this country did to the indigenous people and other things, the racial issues. But also there's the establishment of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. You can't find documents better than this. So if we live by those words, we become the country that those documents represent.
We have Joe in the Bronx. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Hey, George.
Good to have
Hi,
you
Gerald.
With us.
Happy New Year to
you
both
too,
of you.
Joe.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, Gerald, about Bitcoin. Do you think that this will eventually be a bubble? And also I have another question. Concerning Prince Harry, it is pretty unusual for a member of the British royal family to marry an American, basically a commoner. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, that kind of stuff I don't really care about that much. But on the other level of the Bitcoin, yes, we do see a bubble. But what we're really making clear is that after the bubble bursts, there'll be the ones that survive, and Bitcoin will probably be one of them. We don't know, but we believe so because there are only 21 million of them. And again, it's going to be two types of currencies. Kiss the paper goodbye, and it's going, as I said, when you go to China, no one uses cash or credit cards. Everything is an app. So we'll have digital, and we'll have crypto.
Mike in Houston. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good, Mike. Thank you.
And that's why they have no freedom or no autonomy in China, because everything is controlled there. But anyways, Gerald, it's always a joy to have you on. You're my favorite Python, and I just love listening to you. Since another caller talked about Iran a little bit earlier, I'm going to ask you about Turkey. I was there like 25 years ago, back in 92. I went on a trip to Israel, Greece, and Turkey. And I was just wondering, why did Erdogan turn his back on the U.S. and NATO, and why is he doing deals with the Russians? Is this all about the Kurds and Iraq and what's going on in Syria and between Syria and Israel? What are your thoughts on that? And I had another question that had to do with your something that I was reading about your Aunt Gigi, but I'll leave that since we're running out of time here, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, Mike. Yeah, he did a turn. The Turkish president just turned on us, didn't he?
Well, you know, the guys, you know, I mean, he had a coup over there. I mean, you know.
And he's not well-liked there, by the way.
No, and I mean, you know, it's a dictatorship. I mean, this guy, you know, anybody that wants to keep staying in office like this and keeps fighting like this. And by the way, the whole Kurdish issue arose when they had an election and his party didn't get a majority. And that's when they started making the Kurdish issue hot again. So, you know, this guy, to me, is just another politician that doesn't want to leave. What did Eisenhower say? Something to the effect that anyone seeking to be president is either crazy or insane or something like that. And that's what it is. If you seek the office, then you want power. And that's what you have, and you have a lot of people that seek it, want power, and human rights and personal rights don't count. Only their ego and their look, they're psychopaths and sociopaths. End of story.
You got it. Gerald, thanks for being on the program, my friend.
Hey, thank you.
Talk to you next time. Gerald Celente, website linked up at coasttocoastam.com.